And if you would go to the Old Testament, to the book of Micah. You know, I guess I'm through preaching on prayer, because when I got home Sunday, I was going back over my notes. I was going to add something to it, and something went wrong with my computer and deleted every note that I had on my Bible, on my iPad since the first of the year. Just instantaneously just went away into outer space. And I said, well, glory to God. I guess I'll start over. God bless computers. No, I wasn't backed up to the cloud. So the cloud didn't bail me out. I'm praying, I'm still believing for the Holy Ghost to make something work. I keep praying and then turning it on. Praying and turning it on. But you know, I've never preached a message twice in 20 years. Just it never seemed to be the same. I preach it, and the moment I preached it, like I'll preach this message tonight, it'll seem like the greatest message I've ever preached. But then when I go back and look at it, think about preaching it some other time, it doesn't make a bit of sense to me. So I've got 20 years of notes, and I go back and read them, and not any of them seem like they're any good. It seems like, why'd I preach that? It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen, you know? So I guess losing it wasn't a big deal. I was in the book of Micah the other day, just happened to be going through it in my daily reading, and I had this revelation that just hit me. And I want to share it with you tonight. And I pray that, you know, matter of fact, I want to pray over you right now. Father, just let it be as great to them as it was to me. Let their eyes see it like you showed it to me. Let their hearts be open like you opened my heart. And Lord, let it just make us more like you, Jesus. So Holy Ghost, you got to make it happen. So Lord, I thank you for it. And I was reading here in Micah chapter 7, verse 18, came across this scripture. And you know, if you read the minor prophets in the Old Testament, you know, and start reading through them, all of them are basically kind of have the same message. You know, it's a kind of a turn or burn message, you know, to Israel, because they were all going down and everybody was just, you know, kind of a heathen. And so the prophets are just prophesying, you know, it's time to turn from God. You're going to, you know, if you don't do right, you know, you're going to get it. And Micah said here in chapter 7, verse 18, it says, who is a God like you? Isn't that the truth? Who is a God like our God? I don't know, church. I have looked at other religions, and there isn't any of them that I want to be a part of. If you just logically go look at them, right? I don't want to be a part of any of them. All right? I don't want to worship a cow. I like to eat steak. Right? I don't want to worship a statue that shirt's too short and his belly's too big. Right? I mean, I'm not trying to offend those religions, but I'm just saying, but when you come to talk, who's like our God? Who loves you so much that he would send his son to die on a cross, so he'd forgive you of your sins so that you can be with him. So he says, who is a God like you? Pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. Everybody say he delights in mercy. Say it again. Say he delights in mercy. I am so glad that I don't have a God who delights in vengeance. I mean, can you imagine that? You mess up, he's going to smoke you. You know, it's like the great and powerful Oz, right? You go and fire shooting out in his face and he's angry at you. You know what? I don't want that. You go into, he says, he's a God who delights in mercy. Okay, so now go over to the book of Acts chapter 10. Just remember, God delights in mercy. And let's read about old Cornelius here tonight. I start reading verse 1. Acts 10:1. It says, there's a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. A devout man, one who feared God with all of his household, who gave alms generously to the people, and prayed to God always. Now, it's about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. Now, you read the whole story of the book of Acts, and you read the whole story of what happened with Cornelius. You know, I mean, I don't want to take time to go in there because it's not really what I'm preaching. But, you know, the angel said to him, you know, there's a guy come tell you tell you about Jesus. I mean, I'm just paraphrasing all this, right? Now, he was a righteous man. He wanted to do right. The heart of Cornelius, prior even to meeting Peter, was one that wanted to do right. It was a compassionate heart, right? Now, what I want to talk to you tonight is about hearing the voice of God. So many times when we say we want to hear the voice of God, we're looking for a burning bush experience. We're looking for something in our life to come up and it'd be a burning bush, and God says, you know, take off your shoes, for this is you're standing as holy ground. And we have this kind of an experience when we hear the voice of God. A lot of times when we hear the voice of God, and just let me finish this statement before you just shut me off. But when we want to hear the voice of God, we want to hear him in English speaking to us. We want to hear him say, Frank, I want you to go today to the post office, open up the box, and inside the box. You know, it's like, the old detective show, Mission Impossible, thank you. We want it like the Mission Impossible deal. We want to get on there and, you know, this message will self-destruct in, you know, 15 seconds or whatever, you know, where God gave us the info, right? Am I right? We want to read our Bibles and we want God to just say, you know, exactly what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to walk, what we're supposed to, you know, we want to see 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road, five, it would take a year down the road, you know, this is how I want it, it's all going to turn out like this, and this is, you know what I'm saying? Why do we want to do that? Because we don't want to walk in faith. Doesn't take any faith to do that. All it takes is obedience then. Right? We didn't take any faith. Faith in us is what God says, it pleases me. Hebrews 11, it pleases me when you're in faith, is what God says. And now remember, what does he say? He's a God of mercy. Okay? So I'm trying to talk about hearing the voice of God. How can we, listen to me, if God lives in you because you're born again, because Jesus, you made him the Lord of your life, and he came and he set his temple up in you, should it not be easier for us to hear the voice of God if he's living in us? It's not like he's in heaven and we can't hear. The Bible says he's in you. If he's in you, then what is up? But we're listening for this voice.
Yes, Robert, this is God. I'm wanting to talk to you today about this.
We want to hear this voice inside of us. Are y'all with me? Because, see, it doesn't take any faith to believe. Now, I've taught you and taught you and taught you that if you're really going to hear the voice of God, you got to know what kind of a voice he'd be speaking to you. Okay? And you're going to find that out by reading the Word. Okay? But anyway, here's Cornelius. Let's go back to him. He's a man who wants to do right. I believe all of y'all in here tonight, you want to do right. You wouldn't have taken your Wednesday night to come in here and worship God if inside of your heart it really wasn't beating to want to do right. I mean, if you want to do wrong, well, you're in the wrong place tonight. Because if you do wrong and you're wanting to do wrong, the Holy Spirit's just going to convict you that you're wanting to do wrong, and so therefore you feel guilty. Or just the devil's going to torment you and condemn you because he's, you know, whatever. But this is the wrong place to be. You don't want to be in a Holy Ghost service if you want to do wrong. Right? So I have to assume that y'all all sitting here tonight, you do in your heart of hearts want to do right. But we may not always do right, but we want to do right. Now, Cornelius, if you'll let me say this, and this is kind of, I don't know, I'm kind of splitting the hair here, but Cornelius at the chapter 10, verse 1, at the first of this, he wasn't saved by the blood of Jesus because he didn't know about Jesus. Technically, He hadn't prayed and confessed Jesus. He didn't know about Jesus, really. So what was in him? Think about this. Why was Cornelius have a heart for God? You know, there was something there. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. The way he was raised, his morality, his sense of justice, his sense of righteousness, maybe because he was a military person, but something in him was telling him that God is a God, a good God, a God of mercy. You can't tell me that God is motivating a person when he wants to kill other people. You see what I'm saying? You can't be motivated by God, the God I know, to strap a bomb on you, walk into innocent people and blow them up and say you were doing God's justice. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't line up with anything in the scriptures. It doesn't line up with anything other than the nature of a God of love and mercy. A God of wrath and hate? Yeah. A God of mercy? No. Remember, he's a God of mercy. Right? Okay. So now jump down to verse 30. Now Peter's come to Cornelius' house. The men have gone and got him. They brought him over there. Peter's just struggling with having to go in the house of a Gentile because Jews don't mix with Gentiles. And so his mind, you know Peter's mind. Now listen, Peter, I love Peter. Of all the disciples, I really love Peter because to me, Peter is kind of like us. He's kind of the country boy that had a lot to overcome because he'd always just gone out there. He was a fisherman. He was strong. He running his own business. He was I figure he was a real man's man. He was the guy that bellied up to the bar if they had bars back then. And he was the guy that, you know, would punch the first guy out. He was a guy that, you know, this is Peter, right? Right? Whack a guy's ear off, you know, whatever. Shouldn't have had to, you know? So, Peter, I'm telling you, in his mind, he's just struggling with, he's with a bunch of Jews and he isn't supposed to be. I mean, a bunch of Gentiles and he's not supposed to be. In his mind, he's having this wrestling thing of, oh God, I am doing everything I have been taught wrong. Because no matter what, the Jews did not associate with the Gentiles. Now, God showed him the blanket coming down, right? And he showed him the animals and said, eat, and everything's clean. And he knew what was going on, but there was a struggle, I can guarantee you, in Peter to step into the house of Cornelius. But Peter was obedient. He's going to follow the Holy Ghost. So he goes in there, and they've had this conversation. And so he says, tell me what's going on. And so Cornelius starts here in verse 30. He says, so Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And about the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Now, of everything that I have been taught, you know, about prayer and all of a sudden, wait a minute, you have to kind of back up, because here's a man that really technically isn't even saved. And everything the man's doing in his life, God saw, and it says he remembered them. Are y'all with me? In other words, don't ever get this idea that God is not watching what's going on. All right? So he says something here that just jumped out to me. He said, first of all, that his prayers were heard, right? And then he said, your alms are remembered in the sight of God. And that just struck me. Why would what Cornelius did in giving, because it says up there he gave generously, right in verse 1, you're up there, we said he gave generously to the people and he helped the people and he was doing these kind of things. Why would God take so notice of the actions that Cornelius did? And so I started looking up things. I started digging and scratching and pulling and prying and looking into the word and the what it means, and I found some really unusual things. The first thing is the word alms. Now, to me, alms, prior to me looking at this, would just be any giving, charitable giving, would be an alms. That was my thinking of it. So this is what the word means. I can't pronounce it. It's about that long, out of the Strong's Dictionary, this is what it means. Compassionates. benefactions. Compassionates. In other words, every time, what is God? What is He? He's a God of mercy, right? Isn't that what it said? He's a God of mercy. Every time Cornelius gave an alms, he was doing something that compassion had welled up in him, and so he was operating out of his compassion. You follow me? Now, if God's a God of mercy, and you go look up that word mercy, it means He's a God of compassion. So every time Cornelius operated and gave or did something out of his compassion, what he was really doing was doing something that was of the nature of God. So when he did something that was of the nature of God, God said, hey, he's acting like me. He's look at Cornelius over here. He's acting like my heart. So he's moved with compassion for something, and he acted upon that. In a sense, Cornelius didn't even realize it, but he was hearing the voice of God to move in that situation. Because if God's a God of mercy, His nature is a nature of mercy, a nature of compassion. So when you have compassion about anything or any situation going on, then you know what? You have heard the voice of God. You've felt God stirring in you because God's a God of compassion. And when you move in that, something happens. Because it's God's voice. It's God. It's more than just His voice. It's His whole nature. Now, you know, we should all have compassion for our children. I'm just saying things that are just naturally around us. You have compassion for your children. You have compassion for your family members. You know, you lose a loved one. You cry because you feel a loss. There's certain things that have compassion, but there's other things that stir you that may not stir somebody else. And that's you hearing God's voice for that situation. Just because you don't hear God's voice for that situation, like I have a good friend who loves everything in Asia, China, goes over to that, but I never have had compassion for that area. But that doesn't mean I don't love them in a general sense, but that's not what God's voice is speaking to me to go do. But I'll go anywhere that speaks Spanish. You know, I'll go anywhere that there's orphans involved. Somebody says, well, we support orphans. I love you. What can I do for you? You see what I'm saying? Because that's God's voice speaking to me and moving in the compassionates. That's God. That's His nature. Yearning in you to do something. Okay. Now this is the next interesting thing. The word remembrance there. If you look it up, the Strong's Dictionary. It means it's a fixture in the mind, or it's a fixture in the mind. Now, think about your house. If you have furniture, you have fixtures that are in your house. They stay there. They don't move. Well, they can move around, but they usually all stay in the house. Are y'all with me? It's a fixture. It's something that should be fastened. When Cornelius operated in compassion, he was operating in God, and God said, that's forever fixed in my mind. Now, because it was fixed in God's mind, when he saw something happening over here that Cornelius needed to meet Peter and have Jesus and get everybody in the household get full of the Holy Ghost, because that's what happened in Acts chapter 10, he said, oh, wait a minute, I got to get Peter over to Cornelius. I got to get the blessings over here. Why? It was a fixture in his mind. Think about that. Every time in life you have done something that you have been moved with compassion towards it. You heard the voice of God, you moved in the voice of God, and that got fixed in God's mind as a fixture. So when he looks down and sees you need something, it's a fix. You're a fixture in his mind, and he's going to see that it gets there. You see, we don't move in life and operate in life by what our head says is right. We have to move by what the compassion in us says for us to do. Because then we're operating in the heart of God. Okay, let's go to another real familiar passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son. And just go to verse 20. If you don't know the story of the prodigal son, you need to read it. But I just want to pick it up in verse 20. It says, so he arose and he came to his father. When he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, the word compassion there, it's a different word than the when it says alms up there, because alms, it's the act of the compassion. Right? And it says he was moved with compassion. So this is what you start with. And then you move and you acted, and then that was a different word because the Greek language is very distinct. So you follow what I'm saying? The word compassion, again, it's one of these words that's about this long. I'm not even going to attempt to say it. And this is what it means. I'm reading it, okay? So don't think I, added to this. It says, to have the bowels yearn. I promise you that's what it says. To feel sympathy, to have pity, to be moved with compassion. You know, I'm going to get in trouble with this message, but like I said, God speaks to me differently. Have you ever had a stomach ache? Could you say that in a natural sense, your bowels yearned? I mean, what I'm saying is your bowels were cramping to extreme degrees, and it hurt. Right? I mean, this is, I'm sorry. I'm just really going to drive this point home. You are going to remember this message. If you've ever eaten something bad, man, you got it in your stomach, and it went, oh, God. Your bowels were yearning for relief. I'm to promise you, you go look up the Strong's word, that's what it says. The bowels yearn. In other words, it's not just compassion like, oh, isn't that sweet? It's something that would move you to either act out of your nature or... Oh, God. Huh? I got to tell y'all this story. You'll never forget this message if I tell you this story. You will be forever, ever have what it knows to really be moved with compassion. Years ago, I was with this pastor friend of mine, and we were back in Arkansas. And I didn't know that he had any problems, but he had irritable bowel syndrome, and I didn't know it. And so we're driving down the road, and he's driving. And as we begin to go, I notice he's a little uncomfortable, and then I notice, man, we start flying in the car. I mean, we were picking up speed, and I'm like, man, why is he driving so fast for, And then it got to the point to where it was making me a little nervous. I mean, we were doing 85 and 90 down the country roads. And so I said, bro, you okay? He said, no. I said, what's the matter? And he says, I got to find a bathroom. And so I said, well, don't kill us. That ain't going to help you. You know, I want to be okay. And he's just squirming in the seat. Man, we're going faster. You know, now we're pushing 100. We're flying in this car. And I said, dude, you're going to kill us. Do you even know where you're going? Right up here at the corner. There's a convenience store. So this guy was a real slick willy. And he was in a suit. I wasn't. He was. And so we get up there and to this town, and he slows down like the speed limit's probably 40, and we're doing 60 through town, and there's a big old hump in the road, and we go across this hump, and the car is flying, and I'm holding on for dear life. And I thought he was going to hit the gas pumps, and he slides. I mean, literally, the car slides up and stops, and man, he just threw her in park, never shut it off, and just ran into the bath, you know, ran into the convenience store. So, I mean, you know me, good old country boy, you know, I'm not going to let this go. And I get tickled at the whole situation. And so I'm in the car laughing, and it's no sooner did he go in there than he came flying back out. Restroom was out of order. So he jumps in the car, it's still running, he puts it in drive and literally smoked the tires out of this convenience store. We did a big, you know, sliding maneuver out onto the road. I'm just, by now, I'm hysterical. I said, I'm going to go to jail in Arkansas. And, you know, we're going to, I'll never see the light of day if he doesn't kill us. And he just, this car's just everywhere on the road. And he goes down the road. And there's the nastiest gas station I've ever seen in my entire life. And he slides in there. He runs in there. I seem like this out the glass when he's, you know, telling the guy, give me the key, give me the key, give me the key, and he gives it. And it's on a hubcap, a full-size car hubcap. He comes flying out of there with that hubcap, and by now I'm rolling. I'm laughing so hard, tears are in my face. I'm just, you know. And he busts in there, so, you know, in a little while he comes back, and then he tells me what's wrong with him. I said, man, well, let's pray about it, brother. It's a terrible way to live if you don't die in a car wreck. You know, this is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. That was bowels yearning right there. Now that I've got that point across, and you always have that forever fixed in your mind, has anything ever moved you like that? If so, that was what it meant when the Father saw His Son coming, how God's compassion welled up. When Jesus used it, where do you use it? Where specifically? Because He's trying to say, look, it wasn't just a compassion like saying, oh yeah, here He comes, so sorry sucker, coming on down the road, been out there, I guess He's going to come on back, see what He's going to do this time. No, no. It was with all the gut-wrenching compassion within the heart of the Father to just yearning, oh, there's my Son. Today, I told y'all that you know, I was moved. My bowels of compassion were yearning for us to get a generator down there, and it got there today. I have a picture. We'll have it up Sunday. So this big generator is coming through the front gate of the orphanage, you know. And everybody's all rejoicing, and just to see it was just like, thank you, Jesus, the, you know, mission accomplished. They're hooking it up. I don't know, they may be running on it tonight. My point was, is that when you're moved with compassion with something, God sees it, and when He sees it, it gets fixed in His mind that you were willing to act like Him and yearn to see something happen, to see somebody delivered, to see somebody set free, to see somebody healed, to see somebody come to know Jesus, to see God's, you know, amazing love come into their life, and you were moved with compassion for it. And when you were moved like that, what happened was it got fixed in God's mind, and the next time you need something, He'll be there for you. Because you were moved like God is moved. So right now, if you want to just take inventory of your own life and where you're hearing the voice of God in your life, then just stop and say, what do I have compassion for? What do I have compassion for? What's moving me? What's stirring me? And whatever those areas are, then I want to tell you something, that's God. And you can take full confidence tonight that you are hearing the voice of God and you're walking in it. Okay, so let me just change and let's just step over here for a minute. So then what in your life are you moving in that is not compassion? That's anger, wrath, jealousy? Because those are not God. Fear? You see, if you're moving in those, you're hearing the voice of the devil and you're moving in his flow. Are you following me? Lust? Greed? Whatever the things would be, that's the nature of the enemy. That's why Jesus looked at the Pharisees and said, listen, you're of your father, the devil. And they're like, what? We go to church all the time. We read the Bible all the time. We can quote it forwards and backwards. What do you mean we're of our father, the devil? I said, no, your nature, the way you're acting. That's not my daddy. That's not the way he operates. You're moving with you have a murderous spirit. You have you remember the story where he says, don't be like the Pharisees who always desire the best places to sit. So in other words, it's the arrogance, the pretense, the pomp. Jesus says, that's not my father. Judging me, that's not my father. That's what he said. You're just sitting around judging me.
Well, if we yield to give to Caesar, what are we supposed to do? We still speak taxes or not?
They're just trying to catch him. They said, that manipulative spirit, that's not of God. He says, you're of your father, the devil. So any place you're moving over here thinking, someday I won't get that sucker. That's not the heart of God. Oh, believe me, I've done it. I mean, you're not saying, oh my God, I'm demon possessed. No. You're not demon-possessed. You're just hearing your Adamic nature. You're just hearing the fallen nature on the inside of you. So if we think about what we're about to do and then ask ourselves, does it line up with compassion, mercy, grace, forgiveness, love? Then you know what? You're hearing the voice of God. If it lines up over here with all these other things, lust and greed and selfishness and manipulation, well, then you're hearing your father, the devil. So then to distinguish between the two really gets to be pretty easy, right? So you don't necessarily have to hear God say anything. You can feel right down here in your bowels of yearning for compassion, and you're hurting. When your heart's moved with compassion for that situation, you don't have to hear God say, yes, I want you to go do that. You already heard him. Otherwise, he wouldn't be moving in you. And just because you're not moved with compassion in an area that somebody else is moved in compassion in that area, doesn't mean you're wrong. See, that's where people get it wrong. They think everybody should be doing the same thing. We're all doing the same thing. Something's going to get left out. So then, man, after this message, it gets to be real simple. So now I have another one for you. Okay? This will help you. So, let's just say, for instance, heaven forbid, somebody does something ugly to you. Okay? Somebody does something ugly to you. And you stop and you say, well, Lord, I really feel like that person should suffer. Are you going to do it, or would you like me? Okay, so then right off the bat, you're not hearing the voice of God. You're hearing the voice of your flesh, right? Okay. So, if you stopped and said, Lord, I know what I'd like to do, but I'm going to have compassion on that person. whether I feel like it or not, I'm going to pray for that person. I'm going to allow you to use me to pray for them. Then you know what happens? You may not ever see an ounce of recourse on this earth, but you just got a remembrance in heaven. You just got a remembrance in heaven. And Frank, you know, I'll take a bunch of remembrances in heaven, because someday I'm going to need to be bailed out. And I'm going to want God to look down and say, you know, wow, I got a bunch of remembrances. I got a bunch of fixtures in my mind about Robert. I need to help him out in this situation. I can see the Father looking at Jesus and saying, you remember that time so-and-so did Robert wrong, and you remember he just prayed for him? He acted like me. Yeah, I remember that one. Let's go. Yeah, let's see if we can get this. We need to get Peter over to his house so he can get full of the Holy Ghost. You see what I'm saying? You may not get to see it here on earth, but you know what? Man, I'll win in heaven all day long, because that's eternal. So when I saw this, it really kind of helped me to say, you know, Lord, I know it's kind of selfish because I know that I'm getting a brownie point for this, but I want to act like you. Because I'd rather you be remembering what I did than that person, me getting vengeance upon that person. Right? So the next time that happens to you, just stop for a minute and say, what am I going to do here, Lord? Say, I'd rather be a fixture in your mind than see that person's face bloody. Right? I mean, I'm being kind of honest here, but I've already talked about yearning bowels tonight, so I might as well just go on and finish this thing up really strong. Right? Just going to go ahead and forgive them. Go ahead and just pray for them. Isn't that what Jesus said? Pray for your enemies. Bless those that spitefully use you. I don't like that scripture. I'd like to cut it out with an exacto knife and get rid of it. But now that I see this tied to it, it's like, well, wait a minute. Now I see this. Wait a minute. I want a remembrance. So it changes the game. Hello? So that person can either steal from you, or that situation you went through or that person can cause you to have a remembrance in heaven that's eternal. So you could almost look at them and say, well, thank you, Satan, for coming up today and saying that to me, because this gives me an opportunity to be a fixture in the mind of God. They're going to say, what? And you're going to say, you don't worry about it. I got this one. Hello? Is that right? I'm telling you, man. Change your world. Change your world right here. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. It's all I got. Tell you how to hear from heaven. Compassionates. Glory, glory. Well, praise God. If you need an offering envelope, lift your hands up just to get you one. Man, I'm so excited about that generator. It's a big old yellow thing. And it looks so cool. It's got all the Callens all over it and the enclosure, and weighs about, I think they told me it weighed 8,000 pounds. I think that's what it said. They said. They're putting it on a pad there somewhere inside the gate. Because I kind of got worried about that somebody might try to steal it. When I saw it, I said, I'd like to see them pick that thing up. I can't even get into it. So glory to God for that. So anyway. Put your hand over your offering. Let's pray over it. Father, we just thank you for it tonight. Thank you for our compassionates. I thank you for the times you've been moved with compassion or remembrances in your mind. Fixtures, Lord, fixtures in your mind. I just declare tonight, Lord, as we give, I just thank you, Lord, we're going to continue. We're going to reach out. We're going to grab people all over the world. We're going to continue to bless. We're going to continue to see miracles and signs and wonders, Lord, that take place. And Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.